When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com. Put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Rich Lankoff joins us now, though, to catch us up on a couple of legal stories. You listen to his podcast that you can access at WGNRadio.com or wherever you find finer podcasts. Hey, Rich, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, John?
Pretty good. I was talking about that story that you alerted us to, Bobby Wagner, the guy that hit that protester at the Monday Night Football game. Was it last Monday? Is now the object of a report, that is, the man that he hit has filed the police report against him. Is that correct?
Yes. Kind of in a reversal, the opposite of what you would think. You would think that he would have been arrested and brought criminally, or charges brought criminally against him. He has now turned around and filed a police report against the Rams linebacker.
So that doesn't mean much, right? I mean, it's not a lawsuit, and even that wouldn't necessarily have to be fruitful, but he's just filed the police report, right, charging him with assault, correct?
Yeah, all he's done is exactly file a report. Anyone can file a report for anything. It doesn't mean, to your point, John, that the state's attorney or the district attorney is going to prosecute anything. I can't imagine they would. But it is interesting that, you know, like you see sometimes, you know, someone who robs a bank and then is shot and that person turns around and
yeah,
sues the security guard of the bank. That's what this guy is apparently doing.
Well, just one last point about all of that, because the story in Sports Illustrated does quote the player as saying that he was very frustrated with how the game was going, and I quote, this is a quote from him, "I took it out on that fan." I mean, he hit him in the head with his helmet. I have no sympathy for the fan that ran onto the field protesting something. In this day and age, you don't know what's in somebody's backpack, smoke coming out of it, so I feel bad for the security guards that got to wrestle a fool like that and put themselves in jeopardy. This guy takes a hit from player too bad, but I'm telling you, he hit him hard enough that if he injured him, I could see him suing the team for something or another, right?
Yeah, so I mean, what Bobby Wagner has said since then is that he didn't know what the guy was doing, and he thought he was a danger. That's why he took him down. But to your point, I mean, if this guy sues, is there exposure for the Rams, for the NFL, for the stadium, for security? All of the above, there's always exposure. But if you were in a jury box, would you side with this guy who's running around with smoke bombs or with the team? Probably with the team, with security, et cetera. So,
speaking of sports, talk to me about the Tom Brady, Gisele Bündchen story. I guess they both hired divorce lawyers.
Yeah, there's some photos, of course, of Gisele Bündchen leaving an office building where her divorce attorney resides. And apparently this has been going on for a while. You know, it's a very salacious story, of course. But whenever it's with the defense lawyers, with the divorce lawyers, it's never a good thing. That doesn't mean that they're getting divorced for sure. But if they do get divorced, it's expected to be one of the more, of course, costly separations in history, given how much money both sides in this marriage have. They also, I guess, Tom Brady updated, or Gisele Bündchen updated her tattoo, which, as we've seen with celebrities, is never a good thing. Sylvester Stallone changed his tattoo to took his wife off his arm and then said that he was trying to put his dog on there. So, newsflash, whenever a celebrity changes their tattoo, probably a bad sign for their marriage.
Well, he's been the breadwinner for them, but she's been a fantastically successful model herself. The reporting is that she's somewhat put her career to the side to support him and the family. So if they got a divorce, unless there was a prenuptial agreement that spelled all of this out, I guess, well, would she get half of the assets? I don't know what they have to quibble over. They're both fabulously wealthy people.
Yeah, so the law in their state, as it is in most states, is that you share what you accumulated during the marriage and you keep what was yours before the marriage. So I think I read one report where he's worth alone about $400 million. And unless, to your point, there's a prenuptial agreement, he could stand to lose about half that in the separation.
I don't like the sound of that. He would stand to lose $200 million. That's her money too. I mean, that's if that's the law, and if they're a married couple. I know she wasn't the quarterback of the team, but it's not like they just got together and now she's siphoning the money off. They've been married for, 15 years. They've got a family. She should be entitled to half of it, don't you think?
The court agrees, yes. Most jurisdictions do consider it that way. I agree with you that what they accumulated during their marriage is considered in the eyes of the law to be the result of their joint work, and that's why the courts consider it 50-50.
They began together 15 years, married for 13 years. Speaking of celebrities, can you make me understand the Alec Baldwin story?
Sure. We all know that Alec Baldwin was accused by the surviving spouse of Hala Hutchins, who was the cinematographer killed in the Rust shooting. The widow accused Alec Baldwin of being complicit, obviously pulling the trigger, resulting in her death. They have since settled that allegation. Now, that just means that they have settled civilly. Alec Baldwin paying money to Hala Hutchins' family so that they don't pursue a civil action against him for wrongful death. That doesn't mean that Alec Baldwin is shielded from criminal liability. There is still an ongoing Santa Fe investigation into the shooting. It's taking way longer than most people want it to, but the result of that criminal investigation may result in Alec Baldwin being arrested for a criminal violation. So he has settled the civil suit, but there is still some criminal liability out there.
We don't know the terms of the civil settlement, right? But what would the criminal charge against Alec Baldwin be?
Could range anything from murder, which probably won't be the charge, given that you require some mens rea, some criminal intent. We don't think Alec Baldwin meant to kill her, but there's all sorts of other charges. There's lesser included charges like second-degree murder or manslaughter, which means that you did not intend to kill someone, but you intended to pull the trigger. Probably not there. But there's also a host of criminal charges that can be brought if he was negligent, if he was found to be, or at least charged to be negligent in the handling of that weapon.
Maybe as a producer of the movie, but I mean, I don't understand pursuing him criminally. This was a terrible tragedy. They've reached a civil settlement. They'll never bring the woman back, but their money has been transferred. I don't see the point of criminally pursuing Alec Baldwin.
We don't know. We don't really know the details. We know that Alec Baldwin has asserted on multiple occasions over different interviews that he did not pull the trigger. If he didn't pull the trigger, it's hard to imagine a criminal charge, although you can conceivably charge him for pointing the weapon at her. If he knew it was loaded, then I could see a charge for negligence in just pointing a loaded weapon at her. But I don't know. I don't know. None of us know what the investigation actually reveals.
They're making a movie. He's got to point the gun at the person in the movie. So maybe if he knew that it was loaded and it could go off as he pointed it, then I guess there's some criminal negligence there. But that doesn't seem to be what happened. I don't understand why they continue to pursue this, but we'll pursue it they will. There's a couple of other stories I want to talk to you about. We need to take a quick pause here. Rich Lenkoff's on a phone line. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy has said something that is interesting, and something else about, speaking of attorneys, Donald Trump's attorneys. We're visiting with Rich Lenkoff, the attorney and Capitol member with Downey and Lenkoff. You hear him frequently on WGN Radio. He co-hosts a podcast that we post here as well, and wanted to ask you a little bit about, let's start with the House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy's story. He said over the weekend that when the violence broke out January 6th at the Capitol, the president, then Donald Trump, was unaware of it. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, I mean, what's newsworthy, you are reading that right, and what's newsworthy is that that's totally opposite from lots of testimony from lots of different people that revealed, specifically to the January 6th House Select Committee, that Trump was watching TV for hours as the rioters were involved in this fight and attack on the Capitol. But now Mark McCarthy maintains that Trump was unaware of it when he spoke with Trump that afternoon. So, you know, who knows if this is a, you know, an October surprise before the upcoming election, but McCarthy seems to be backtracking from what he and others have told us.
Well, maybe the president didn't know right away because he didn't go with the rioters to the Capitol. I understand, like you, that he watched TV. None of us saw what was going on inside. So unless McCarthy's referring to the violence inside the Capitol building, then that just doesn't make any sense. That I don't know how he is going to defend that. But that's just him talking, right? I mean, there's no other thing other than that's his observation, correct?
Well, there's a conversation, again, that was released by a police officer between the police officer, this gentleman named Fanone, who wrote a book called Hold the Line, that he recorded secretly Kevin McCarthy, which, by the way, is legal in the District of Columbia. And Fanone says that how could the president not believe it? And how could he say the words he's saying? I love you. And, you know, now it's time to go home. So that's why we're talking about this now, because there's this new audio released by this former police officer.
There's also a new book out called Confidence Man by Maggie Haberman of the New York Times, in which she says the fact that Donald Trump has spent so much money retaining a lawyer, you better believe he realizes he's in the thick of it. Talk about that a little bit, Rich.
Yeah, Maggie Haberman's been following Trump for a long time, so presumably she has sources that are reliable and knows, you know, in prior legal proceedings with Trump. And Trump, as we know, is no stranger to hiring lawyers. He's probably hired more lawyers than anyone on this planet. But what's news here is yesterday, one of the Sunday shows, she said that he must be taking it seriously, given how much money he has spent on lawyers from the January 6th and other investigations. I think the number was $3 million as a retainer, which is not a small amount of money. So that, to Maggie Haberman's, in her perspective, meant that he understands how much legal jeopardy he's truly in.
I thought I heard that the lawyers wanted that paid up front, too. Did you hear that as well?
Well, yeah, if it's a retainer, that means that they would be paid up front, and then once that draws down, it would have to be replenished. But you don't often see a $3 million retainer fee paid by an individual. You see it for corporations sometimes, but yeah, that's a lot of money. And you raise another good point. Why is it a retainer versus an hourly fee? Because Trump is famous for not paying his bills, especially to lawyers. So, you know, you don't want to just take him at his word that he'll pay your legal bill once the services are rendered. You want to get that money up front.
Is that his personal money, or is that, I think he can use his campaign money, the money donated to that fund for him, right?
Yeah, he's got a huge war chest. I'm sure he can. I don't know the answer exactly as to whether he can use the campaign money for his personal defense. And of course, there's lots of different defenses going on. There's the Trump Organization, there's, you know, him personally. So you're right. I think inevitably some of that money that he has from his campaign can probably use to defend his, you know, for legal fees and the defense of these other cases.
I'm going to click through for your podcast, Rich. What do I search?
Legal Face-Off on WGN on all your applications, all your platforms, and available through WGN.
Rich Lankoff is an attorney and capital member with Downey & Lankoff. Okay, Rich, thanks as always. Appreciate your thoughts.
Thank you.